WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Workers in hundreds of cities across the country, including Chicago, are planning mass protests today to push back on what they're calling the, quote, billionaire takeover of the federal government. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Since 1889, today's been recognized as May Day, otherwise known as International Workers' Day. May Day is part of a labor movement that is inseparable from Chicago and continues to expand in big ways today, as some of the Trump administration's executive orders take aim at immigrants, workers, and unions. For more on that history, Chicago's role, and what that labor fight looks like today, we turn to Miles Kempf-Lassen, senior editor at In These Times magazine, and Jorge Mujica, strategic campaigns organizer at Arise Chicago and the Council of Resistance and Defense of Immigrants. Miles kicked things off with that connection between Chicago, May Day, and the labor movement at large.
Well, many people are familiar with the term Chicago as a union town.
Yes.
But fewer are aware of this history of May Day being a key moment in the history of the labor movement and the fact that its roots were planted right here on the shores of Lake Michigan. You know, it was back in 1886, May 1st, when tens of thousands of workers took to the streets demanding an 8-hour workday. This was a time of slaughterhouses, of stockyards, you know, endemic poverty. And workers were demanding rights on the job and more time for themselves. The call at the time was 8 hours for work, 8 hours for sleep, and 8 hours for what we will.
Yes.
And that defined this movement. And it was right after this mass march that the Haymarket Affair took place. This was a few days later. A bomb was thrown into a crowd by an unidentified assailant. Police fired on the crowd, and in response to these clashes, there was a violent crackdown. Martial law was declared, and the city rounded up those who were considered agitators. So these were socialists, communists, anarchists, labor organizers at the time. And ultimately, seven individuals were sentenced to death. Four were ultimately publicly hanged as a result. And this was not for committing a crime. This was simply for promoting what ideas that were considered dangerous or radical at the time, ideas of labor rights and collective struggle. And so May 1st and the subsequent years became recognized internationally as International Workers' Day across the globe. And it continues to be, you know, it's a holiday that's celebrated across Europe, Asia, South Africa, Cuba, countries, across the world. And yet here in the United States and even in Chicago where these events took place, some of that history is forgotten. And so in recent years, there have been efforts to revive that movement, and that's what we're seeing today.
And I hear even, you know, for this year's movement in particular, I mean, this is something that folks have been working on for many, many months, considering the times that we're in and who folks thought for sure was going to end up being our president, and this person did. So talk to me, Jorge, about what May Day means to you after hearing Miles kind of run through some of that history there for us.
Well, to complete the history, one key word that Miles didn't mention is this. 6 out of the 8 people who were condemned and sentenced eventually were immigrants.
Yes.
They were German, they were Russian, they were British. And when in 19 years ago, in 2006, when the immigration community was under attack because of the Sensenbrenner bill, many people may not remember, but this was a bill that made a federal crime to be in the United States without proper immigration papers. Not only for immigrants, but also for whoever helped any undocumented immigrant, meaning a nurse, a doctor, a teacher, a school bus driver, was liable for helping or supporting or whatever an undocumented immigrant. And in 2006, when the discussion came about what day do we have to march nationally, we proposed May Day. And we had to teach people here what May Day was and remind them then the story of May Day, yes, of High Market, because the United States completely had forgotten that. So we brought it back, and we are working this year again to do it, you know, but except that this year is not only the immigrant community, it's everybody, because everybody's under attack. It's not one single sector.
We are facing an interesting time. This is a particular unique threat here from the Trump administration that it's targeting working people, I would say, everywhere, and immigrant communities in particular, for sure, Jorge. So, I mean, talk about what that means as far as us having just watched attempts at just mass deportation and starting right here in Chicago. What does that mean for the labor force here, the strong labor force that we work so hard to build?
Well, in the last decade, the fastest growing within labor unions was in the immigrant community, in the Latino community. As never before, Latino immigrants have been joining labor unions. The growth of labor unions, just as the growth of commerce and industry and population in general, has been in immigrant communities. So if labor unions want to keep this membership, if they want to grow their membership, they have to attend, and therefore they have to defend these immigrants' communities. Mm-hmm. We have seen it. Everybody talks about Kilmer Abrego, you know, the guy who was deported to El Salvador. He's a union member, and his union is defending him. So that's what every union should do. We created a concept of sanctuary unions, not only sanctuary cities, but every union should be a sanctuary for their immigrant members, too.
Miles, talk more about that. Unions are sometimes so misunderstood. What's their purpose?
Well, they are meant to represent the interests of their members, and today, we're seeing more efforts by unions to embrace a strategy called bargaining for the common good, where unions are not simply trying to get better working conditions and wages for those they represent, but also to expand benefits for the larger communities that these workers serve, those that are their families and their neighbors, to help lift up the rights of everyone, not just those who happen to be members. And as Jorge said, this, you know, the history of May Day is intertwined directly with the history of immigration in this country. And there are many parallels to what happened in the late 19th century to what is happening now, you know, where there was this class then of rich industrialists growing as part of the second industrial revolution and the rise of corporate capitalism, and workers really bearing the brunt of that through these poor working conditions. Today, we're seeing a new class of really ultra wealthy elites taking control of the government under the Trump administration. And similarly, we're seeing attacks on the federal workforce, as we heard about earlier, mass layoffs, firings, and we're seeing these attempts to root out immigrant communities that are really the fabric of our community here in Chicago and so many places.
And so how fitting it is that Chicago was on the front lines of this movement.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. And, you know, just a few days ago, as part of his first 100 days, Trump signed a new executive order targeting sanctuary cities, including Chicago, that would seek to have, you know, penalties against those that refuse to assist in the mass deportation regime. This is the same time Chicago has been at the forefront of saying, no, we are a welcoming city. We are not going to, you know, have our local law enforcement conspire with ICE agents to conduct these mass raids, the type we've seen in other cities like New York and cities across the West Coast. So I think it's incumbent on those who believe in the rights of workers to protect all workers, you know, especially those from immigrant communities.
Tell us a bit more, Jorge, if you will, about ARISE and the work you're doing, especially in response to Trump targeting Chicago as a sanctuary city.
ARISE Chicago is a worker center complementing somehow the work of labor unions. But we work preferently with workers who in many cases cannot unionize, unfortunately. But still they have rights. Many of them, we never ask about it, but many of them we know are undocumented. But still they have rights. So that's what we do. Educate people, organize people, to enforce themselves these rights.
Yeah.
Of course, you can go and file claims with government agencies, but you will, you know, take a comfortable 2 years or 3 years while your case is solved.
It'll take a while.
It will take a while. So what we do is organize people in the workplace for them to enforce their own rights. And the Council of Resistance, we created it back in December upon the results of the general election 2024 because we knew what was going to happen. Mm. I mean, the discourse has been so outrageous that we said we need to defend, we need to resist, and we
so
need to educate.
So what does the council aim to do?
We started by educating people. You had seen, you saw by the end of January, Tom Homan, the border czar, saying live on TV that Chicago was a very tough place.
Yes.
Yeah, ground zero. But at the same time, he said, this is a tough place. We can't detain anybody because everybody knows their rights. So he complained about the work we were doing.
I see.
That was like the Nobel Prize on education, you know, popular education. So that's what we did. And we started organizing for May Day.
Mm-hmm. How can people keep unions intact at this moment, Miles? And what are some of the challenges that might be presented?
Well, some of the major challenges are being carried out by the Trump administration right now, which has really tried to gut the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, which has existed to defend workers, as well as other federal agencies that are tasked with defending workers' rights. The Trump administration has really taken on a full war against working people. And so this is a very difficult time to organize. There was an executive order in March that would strip nearly a million workers of their collective bargaining rights. And these are mm-hmm. hard-earned union contract wins that were, you know, took years to win. And now with a stroke of a pen, they're trying to be erased. And so it's a difficult terrain for workers right now. That said, at these times of desperation, you know, you can turn some of this terror that's being put on working people and immigrant communities into determination so that working people can actually take new creative strategies mm-hmm. to organize their coworkers, their friends, especially in industries that traditionally have not been organized. We're seeing that mm-hmm. in campaigns at Whole right. Foods, at Starbucks, and retail workers. Those who traditionally haven't been represented by unions are now saying, hey, I want to have, you know, a organization to yeah. represent my rights and to protect me where I can be protected. And much like Jorge said about Gilmar Abrego Garcia, there's a similar situation with Mahmoud Khalil, who's an individual who has been attacked for his political speech, speaking up for Palestinian rights, mm-hmm. And sent to a prison in Louisiana from New York. They're attempting to deport him, the administration
right.
is, and yet his union, the United Auto Workers, are standing up for him and defending him. And so I think that this shows the ability of unions yeah. to represent workers for their labor rights and their political
whether
rights.
Whether or not they're here without legal status or whether they're, you know, immigrant students or, you know, students with green cards that we've seen being
right.
targeted as well, unions are playing a role in protecting all of these people.
And should, and yeah. should enhance this.
I want to bring up something interesting I saw in These Times recently, Miles. There's an article there about how this particular May Day, we're gearing up for Plan 2028. What's
yeah.
going on?
Yeah, so this is a call that was put out by the United Auto Workers, the UAW, as part of their contract campaign against the big three automakers last year, calling on other unions to line up their contract expiration dates for May Day of 2028 so that many unions at the same time can potentially walk off the job and go on strike
mm-hmm.
To demand broader wins like healthcare and pensions, but also even more creative ideas such as the 32-hour work week, which the UAW has fought for, also called the 4-day work week. And this kind of echoes the original demand back from May Day in 1886 for an 8-hour work day,
yes.
for less time on the job and more time for freedom, for what you will. And so we've seen other unions pass resolutions backing this idea for May 1st, 2028. Deadline that includes the American Federation of Teachers,
yes.
the Postal Workers Union. So it's really starting to build momentum.
Interesting. Even though it's 3 years away, everyone's yeah. jumping on board, it seems, and it understands the urgency.
Exactly.
Like.
And this May Day is the first one since that call was put out. So we're starting to see things move in that direction.
Yeah. Well, before I let you all go, Jorge, you got to tell us what's happening tomorrow in Chicago.
Well, tomorrow we're going to take the streets. We are gathering at Union Park at mm-hmm. 11 a.m. Well, starting the march at 11 a.m. maybe. We expect hundreds of thousands of people, yeah. Really, a quarter million at least, I think.
You feel like this May Day
even
will
if
be,
it's going to be rainy.
You think it'll be different from prior May Days, this one in particular?
Oh, absolutely. But remember 2006, you know, that's what we're going to see tomorrow. We are going to show ourselves publicly because, you know, every discourse from the administration says immigrant equals criminal. And we cannot tolerate that. Mm-hmm. Immigrant means worker. Immigrant means human being. It's not an alien. You know, immigrant means a father, a mother. Immigrant means the economy. Immigrant means human people, mm-hmm. human rights. You know, that's what immigrant means. And yeah. We have to remind the society of that.
Last 30 seconds here, Miles. What would you like to add?
Well, I think that this is also a unique moment because Chicago has for the first time officially passed an ordinance recognizing May 1st as International Workers Day.
Really?
That happened
Cook County last
month. Cook County did a couple years ago. So we're starting to see the revival of
yes.
this spirit and this memory of how important a role our city has played in this broader fight for economic justice and for
nice.
Workers' rights. And at a time when there are newfound attacks, there's going to be newfound resistance. And that resistance is rooted right here in the history of May Day in Chicago.
Yeah. Miles Camplasen is senior editor at In These Times magazine and Jorge Mujica, strategic campaigns organizer at Arise Chicago. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Ari Mejia and edited by Maha Ahmed. If you liked this episode, hit subscribe to follow along and never miss a conversation. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again later today.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.